This episode touches on the topic of mental health. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, know that there are resources and professionals who can help. Reach out to your physician, your local mental health hotline, or someone you trust, and let them know you need help.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 56. In today's episode, we wanted to share a conversation about the importance of caring for your mental health. There is a lot of responsibility and uncertainty that comes with being a freelancer and a small business owner. Many of us often struggle with feelings of overwhelm and anxiety, and the pandemic has certainly exacerbated this to such an extent that some people could barely function due to constantly feeling worried and not knowing what to expect. Our worlds have been literally turned upside down, and many have actually been feeling guilty that they don't seem to be able to function the same way they did before. So we've been talking about discussing this on the podcast for a long time, but let's be honest, we're not experts on this topic. So we decided to find someone who is, and we're excited to welcome today's guest who will help us to shed some light on this topic and offer some helpful advice. We're happy to have with us today Dr. Elizabeth Miller. Dr. Miller is a psychotherapist, researcher, speaker, and mom of two who specializes in women's mental health, chronic illness, and compassion-focused trauma recovery. She opened her private clinical practice, Elizabeth Miller Therapy, after identifying a need for an integrative and holistic approach to healing. She provides support for women, teenagers, couples, and families who are looking for a mind-body approach to mental health. Dr. Miller merges modern neuroscience with research-based mind-body techniques to help her clients obtain optimal health. Please visit www.elizabethmillertherapy.com for more information. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Yes, welcome, Elizabeth. I first found about you through one of my favorite parenting podcasts, Look Ma, No Hands.
Yes.
And I have been following you on Instagram ever since. Those episodes were so great.
Oh.
And I really enjoyed the tips you share on your Instagram page.
Oh, well, I'm glad that was helpful for you.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that you said yes to joining us on the podcast, and even more excited that we're bringing in an expert who is based in Houston, where I live.
Yes. Yes. I am here in Houston.
All right. So let's jump right in. Why don't you tell us and our listeners about yourself, your practice, and what you specialize in?
Sure. So I think that intro was wonderful. But like she said, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm an entrepreneur myself. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and was tired of the cold. So I came down to Texas for college and graduate school. And then I met my husband and stayed for the sunshine and my husband, of course. But professionally, I'm a licensed psychotherapist. Like she said, I specialize in mental health, women's mental health, particularly chronic illness, trauma recovery. But a passion of mine is working with creatives and entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur by nature, and I just love working with leaders and creatives who are working on their own businesses. So when you guys reached out, I got really excited because I know those of us who have our own businesses have a specific set of challenges that maybe other people don't.
Definitely.
Yeah. Speaking of that, well, Madalena and I, just like many or most of our listeners, are freelancers and small business owners. And that comes with a lot of stress, pressure, and uncertainty. And the COVID-19 pandemic seemed to really throw us all for a loop. In your opinion, what can solopreneurs and freelancers do to manage these feelings in a healthy way?
It's a really good question. You know, I don't know if I've ever lived through something like the last 18 months, you know, and I don't think there was ever a guidebook for this. So I think a lot of people immediately went into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, right? That initial response that just puts us into gear. And so because of that, you know, we have a mental health crisis with everyone living in fight, flight, freeze, fawn. It not only reduces our immune function, but also helps us or doesn't help us in the sense of feeling calm and collected. But to answer your question, you know, I think one of the best things that's come out of this is that a lot of people have hopefully started to identify their strengths, where they shine and where they don't. You know, for me particularly, I am not someone that is someone who wants to work from home over Zoom all day. It's not my strength. You know, I do really well in person with people and when I'm in community. So I think part of all of this is, you know, as entrepreneurs, we need to know ourselves, we need to know our strengths, and we also need to know how to meet our own individual needs. So for me, I'm someone that has a need to meet people where they are and fill my social cup. I am someone who needs a lot more social interaction than maybe other people. And so for me throughout this, you know, it's been so important to create community, whether that's virtual community, whether that is reaching out and doing podcasts or reaching out to new people and co-creating different things. I think one of the best things that we can do as entrepreneurs, as people who maybe work more in isolation, is to create a community of people that we love to be around. I think after this last 18 months, we've realized that, you know what, maybe I don't need to return to that particular friendship or that particular role. Maybe I can delegate a little bit more. Maybe I can spend more time with the people that I really want to spend time with. And then I also think separating work from play. I think 18 months ago, or almost, I guess, 2 years ago now, a lot of people found themselves working at their dining room table. And so we immediately had no separation of work and play, right? Or work and home life. And so I think one of the things that we can do to help ourselves is to maybe create a separate workspace, especially if we're working from home.
Yeah. It's so funny. We've talked about this several times here. And for us, you know, we're used to working from home, but we're not used to everybody else in the house being at home at the same time. You know, we feel like almost like our space has been encroached on, like, you know, for example, us, our husbands being home, working from home, and then the kids being home from school. So it's like,
oh my gosh,
space we did have is, you know, it's not ours anymore. It's interesting.
Yes. Yes. And it's overwhelming. You know, we're meant to have separation in a sense of going to work and doing our thing so that we can mindfully hone in on what we want to work on. It's really difficult to be mindful when we've got kids screaming in the background. You know, I have two young girls that, you know, need many snacks a day, have lots of needs, and, you know, want to be engaged. They want to be engaged with the adults around them. And so when they were home, gosh, it was so overwhelming. Nobody's needs were met.
Yeah,
that's so true. And now, like, being alone feels like a luxury because we haven't really been alone for the last almost 2 years.
Yeah, you're finally able to regulate a little bit.
And it's still sort of on and off in a lot of cases. Like, some people, you know, if they live with somebody else, maybe that person's not fully back to work, like, you know, going to actual work. Maybe they're still working from home several days. So there's still that sort of limbo that many people are feeling, I think. And it can all change, right? At the drop of a hat, like we already know. You know, if suddenly tomorrow a school gets shut down for 2 weeks, like, you have to change everything you're doing. And that's just, we're still in it, right?
I think limbo is a great way to put it. And whenever we're in limbo, our nervous systems feel off kilter, right? And so it can set us into a tailspin of, oh my gosh, what's next? We have, and feeling like we have total lack of control, right? And so I think the last 18 months have really been that in a nutshell of, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. This came out of nowhere. And now it's very overwhelming, which in a nutshell is trauma, right? Something that feels out of control and out of nowhere. And I think we're just now maybe getting a glimpse of how to put the puzzle pieces back together and, you know, find that rhythm again. But you're right. There are still times when a school or a class could shut down for 2 weeks. And then what? Mm-hmm. What do we do with all of those things that we already had scheduled?
Yeah.
That can feel really, really nerve-wracking.
Definitely. And not to go like on and on about it, but at the same time, it makes me think like there were days and it's, I mean, like you said, it's been more than a year where it's like every single day it was like, what's going to happen next? What is the next mm-hmm. thing? And I think like none of us have ever lived through that, at least not everybody at the same time. And to be in that every single day, that it's just, it was exhausting. I remember it was always like, what's the next thing that's going to drop, you know? So
yeah. And there was no energy. There was no more. I remember getting to a point where there just wasn't any more energy to give, mm-hmm. You know, and we can't really give from an empty cup. So I think it's just so important to fill our cup and, you know, get to know ourselves and know our needs so that we can fill that.
Yes, definitely. So switching gears just a little bit, but also sort of on the same topic of, you know, how we work. Most of us as translators, we work alone. That's, you know, what we're typically used to. And a lot of translators will say that they actually really enjoy this aspect of our work. But there are situations when you can feel alone and isolated. And it's interesting because I know that Veronica and I, with, you know, so many colleagues that we're in touch with, even people who do truly love working alone, told us this past year, like, we just really need to have another, you know, conference or another event or something. We need to be around the people that we, you know, enjoy working with and so on, even if we don't see each other every day. And a lot of translators, even though they would say maybe that they're introverts, many have shared with us that they also have struggled with social anxiety. So kind of thinking about those two things, you know, the need to be around people, but also having social anxiety, we were wondering if you have any advice or tips on how to manage those types of feelings.
A really good question. I do. I kind of wanted to start, you know, when you reached out for me to be on this podcast, I really was interested in your specific line of work and how isolation really has affected us. And, you know, from my clinical practice, I see how detrimental this social isolation has been. Mm-hmm. But I came across this article by Escalante and Mason written in 2021, this year. Mm-hmm. And they said that social isolation is as dangerous to health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
So social isolation is a huge public health problem, mm-hmm. especially after the last, 18 or so months.
Yeah.
So after reading that, you know, I just want to talk about the importance of, you know, even in the context of social anxiety, even in the context of all of these things that we've experienced as a result of being isolated, you know, mental health is so important. And I want to just remind listeners that they're not alone. There are ways to kind of come out of this. And so my more specific response to that is, you know, we all thrive on homeostasis. So before all of these things shut down and we were confined to our homes, we all had a life and we all had routines. And it felt strange and overwhelming to just all of a sudden have that change. And now it's been 18 months, 2 years, and we're in a new homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So our bodies and our minds love and thrive on homeostasis, even if it's not serving us. And so I think, you know, especially in the context of coming out of our shells after the last year, and even in the context of social anxiety or people who experience symptoms of that, I think it's really important that we make a mental note to schedule social connection into our routines, right? So things that are a part of our routine are much more likely to happen because our brain doesn't have to make that mental leap of trying something new, right? Mm. And so I think that can be really important. I also think this is where knowing our authentic selves is really important. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, for some people, socializing once a week fills their cup and they feel really connected and they have energy to do what they love and do what they need to do. But for others, you know, some people need much more quality time in order to feel connected and energized, right? So I think starting with identifying, do I recharge by myself? Do I recharge with others? And then matching, you know, your social interactions with your needs. Like that stat said, you know, we know that being in community and in connection with others is vital to remain human. Without our connection, you know, our nervous system notices that, and it notices that we're not connecting with others, and it can feel, you know, it can lead to feelings of even more isolation and more mental health issues. So my advice for that is figure out things that you like to do and start there. It's much, much easier to do something that we like than what we don't like. I also say create community with people that you enjoy being around and invite them to do things that maybe you both like to do as well. Like you said, you know, you really wanted a new conference with people that do what you do, that understood you. I think that's great. Make those things a priority to do. And maybe those don't happen all the time, but in your daily life or in your weekly life, try to incorporate and schedule in things that help you get out of your shell a bit, out of that homeostasis.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, I know that Veronica and I actually, we were really good at for a while about during the very start of the pandemic. And I think maybe through most of last year, we were meeting with another friend of ours most Saturday evenings, kind of a Zoom type thing. But, you know, it's one of those things, too. Everybody got so tired of Zoom, and it's just like And then, you know, the summer came. The kids were really off of school, not just at home, but they were actually off of school. So it just kind of, you know, we lost track of it. But it's interesting because we sort of think of this, too, as, you know, people who we don't see every day that we maybe work with or that we know who are friends and so on. But I think listening to what you were saying, even people in our own home, I was talking to my husband recently and I said, we've been going through the same routine of just trying to figure everything out for more than the past year, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't scheduled anything for just the two of us to do, right? It's just basically like making sure everybody's taken care of and is everything good and is everybody, you know, lined up, you know, on the same schedule and stuff. It was really crazy time. And you really see where you're lacking those interactions.
Yeah. And I find if things aren't, you know, part of the routine, right? If we don't have social interaction as part of our routine and we're naturally more introverted or naturally recharge on our own, we're much less likely to wake up or, you know, on Saturday and say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to call that person. I'm going to go out and do something. Instead, we're just going to do what we've done for the last 18 months.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And, sort of on a similar topic there, we were discussing that because of the nature of our jobs in trying to produce, as we are translators, the perfect version of a text in another language, we can tend to be perfectionists in most things, not just in our work. And oftentimes, like, this can also lead to a feeling of being stuck in like an endless cycle of trying to improve, but feeling like it's still not good enough. Which can be another source of anxiety for people. And I think that's true in our work, but I think it's also true in this sense, you know, trying to make the time regularly to schedule these things, you know, trying to make it a regular part of our week and then thinking, well, if it's not perfect, I don't want to do it or something, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right.
Yeah. So,
well, I think it's only natural to want to do well for ourselves, right? If we're the sole person in our business, if we're the mom of the house, right, we want things to go well. Mm-hmm. We have lots of eyes on us, right? So I think that's natural. And you're right. Give yourself that self-compassion of, you know what, I don't have the energy this week, but I'm going to put it, you know, on my calendar next week and we're going to try again. And self-compassion in these journey, in our life journey is just so vital and so important. But to answer your question in terms of managing perfectionism in a healthy way, especially in the context of work, I think a lot of business owners experience that. But, you know, after just learning more about, you know, your specific business and the people that you serve, I mean, you also have cultural components to deal with, to acknowledge and be aware of, and grammatical differences. And there's so many things. I'm sure it can be quite overwhelming at times to navigate all of that. And of course, you don't want to make a mistake and things like that. But, you know, for me, whenever I get stuck in that little cycle of wanting to be perfect, you know, I think it is so important to ask ourselves what's underneath the desire to be perfect. The questions that come to my mind are, is it a fear of vulnerability? Is it that our businesses have become almost like an extra limb? Are they too much of us? Do we feel defined by our jobs? sometimes identifying the story that's attached to the drive for perfectionism can be really helpful in unwinding the why, in a sense.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah, I can totally see that. I think I've talked to a lot of people this past year that said they didn't realize how much of their identity was tied to their work. So
yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's natural. And I also think in the US that is pounded in us from, I don't know, the day we were born. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we put a lot of value and worth into our productivity and businesses. And so I think that can be really overwhelming and maybe borderline dangerous at times, mm-hmm. Especially if things don't go exactly the way we want them to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's so true. And there's so much that even though it's not necessarily actual pressure from other people, but you feel like you're expected to, you know, deliver high quality everything all the time and be like the perfect mom or the perfect parent and the perfect wife and the perfect business owner and all these things. So it's a lot at times.
Well, of course. And it's vulnerable to let our humanness shine through sometimes.
Yeah. So one other thing that's really hard for solopreneurs and small business owners to do is just to put yourself out there and be the face of your business and, you know, talk about your business and represent your business with clients and colleagues. Because you feel very vulnerable, just like you said. Now it's very common to feel self-doubt and struggle with imposter syndrome at times, which makes it hard to treat your business as a business and value your own work. Do you have any advice on overcoming these feelings?
Yes. So, well, let me just start with imposter syndrome is real. And, you know, I remember when I first started working in emergency psych, I told one of my mentors at the time, I said, oh my gosh, I feel like I shouldn't be here. Right. And she looked at me and she said, that's wisdom. Right. She's like, a little bit of fear is wisdom. Yeah. She's like, just keep it in check. And, you know, I've kind of kept that with me a little bit. Right. While we don't want it to overtake us, it is okay to check in with ourselves at times. Right. Mm-hmm. But the feeling of not feeling like we belong is super overwhelming in general, right? Whether it's in our jobs, whether it's in our life, personal life, work life, it's really overwhelming. But something that I personally always come back to and what I really believe is important is to remember that everyone has their own set of gifts and strengths, right? I'm sure each of you have a very different style of translating and a different style of working through different things. And the world needs all of us. The world needs each person's individual set of gifts and strengths. And so I think remembering that and remembering that the way we approach things matters and the world needs what we have to offer. And it's okay to meet the world where we are at the time, right? Sometimes we're able to meet the world with lots of information and lots of wisdom. And sometimes our role is maybe a little bit different. And so I really think that if we can remember that we all bring our own flair to the table, per se, I think grounding ourselves in that and grounding ourselves in our strengths while also being open to feedback, I think that's the wisdom part, are probably the two easiest and quickest ways to combat some of the anxiety around self-doubt of showing up.
Yeah.
But really remembering that the world does need what you have to offer.
I love that. And I love the wisdom part. It's interesting because I was checking out Twitter this morning and somebody had a thread going about the imposter syndrome, just coincidentally. And one of the people commenting, like, tweeted back and said, I appreciate that sometimes my imposter syndrome lets me not make some mistakes, things that I would regret later doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's an interesting perspective. Mm. And so hearing you say, think of it as wisdom, it's just really refreshing.
Yeah. We all have that part of ourselves, that inner critic that wants to come out and say, oh, you're not good enough. Or, you know, that fear center of our brain that talks to us, even if we don't want to invite that, you know, fear center to the table, you know, it keeps us in check sometimes.
Yeah, just acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it and let it pass through.
Yeah. So I loved your advice to parents on the podcast that I referred to earlier, Look Ma, No Hands. And both of us here, Madalena, and all three of us, you, Madalena, and I, we all have little kids. So we just can't miss the chance to talk to you about this as well. The last couple of years have been really hard for parents between work, taking care of our kids, helping them with schoolwork, keeping everyone safe and happy, worrying about the virus, both from a health perspective and as well as from the lack of socialization perspective, and juggling a million other things. We often feel that we have no energy left for anything that is important to us. Personally, I have not been feeling like my normal self for, you know, basically since the pandemic started. And I've been feeling guilty that my kids see me like this, that I'm not, that may not be true, but I just don't feel like my old self. And I fear that my kids notice it. And they, you know, that makes me sad that they would see me like this. So do you have any advice for parents who may be feeling the same way?
Oh my gosh, yes. You are not alone. You are not alone. I'm glad you listened to the episode on Look Ma, No Hands. Laura is amazing. She's got so many great tips too. But you know, for me, I just sit back and more so than ever in the last, you know, 18 months or so, I have to just remember that we're all human. A friend of mine the other day was like, okay, we're human. We have one brain and two hands. Right? Yeah. I don't have anything else, right? You know, she has three kids and she was saying, she's like, I'm not an octopus, right? I'm just one human. And I think that resonates so much because we have been asked to do Herculean tasks of working from home, taking care of our kids, homeschooling in some cases. Honestly, the last 2 years was kind of a recipe for disaster, not only for kids, but adults too. So I think just sitting back and remembering the humanness in all of this and allowing that to just be as it is and sit with the experience of that, right? The sadness, the grief, and in a lot of cases, loss, right? The loss of what could have been if this hadn't happened. But we also know that we can't give from an empty cup. And most people have been running around with no sleep, managing businesses, raising kids, homeschooling. I mean, you name it. The tasks that I have taken on, and I'm sure both of you and all of the listeners have taken on, are probably never in our wildest dreams thought that we would have taken on, right?
All the things we didn't sign up for.
No, we didn't ask for it. Right. And so I guess more specifically in terms of our families, I think it's really helpful for our kids to see us bracketing. I think it's really important for our kids to see that, you know, the world can't drop everything at the drop of a hat, right? Sometimes mom has to finish a task. Sometimes mom has to work. Sometimes we have to wait in the line. We have to wait our turn. But I think having said that, you know, in our home, you know, I manage two businesses. My husband also has his own business. And so we have really found that bracketing our time is really important, you know, in a very mindful way. So we have, you know, our routine habits, and we do our work when our kids are at school and when we are at work. You know, that, for example, you know, that 6 to 8 p.m. time, we're focused on our kids. I put my phone away. I actually turn it off so I don't get distracted, and I am mindful with my kids. And so I think it's just so important that we allow ourselves to prioritize what needs to be prioritized at the time we're in. So every Monday morning, I have time sketched out for me to do my paperwork and follow up on emails and things like that, right? And then during the work week, you know, I have different times that I choose to do things. And in the evenings, that's when I'm really focused on my kids. We eat dinner together. That's really important. It's a priority to our family to eat dinner together. I love to cook. We do bath time and then get in our PJs, all snuggle up and read a book and go to bed. And so I think one of the best things we can do is not multitask, because we're not made for it. So if we can try to mindfully navigate our life, what I mean by that is doing one thing the best we can with the energy we have at the time. So showing up and allowing our attention to be with what we're doing the best we can. We all know that when we're thinking of 800 things, our attention is split and our energy is essentially split. So we don't do them well anyway. So I think the best thing we can do is mindfully show up to whatever task we're doing and set boundaries around that task. So one of my boundaries, like I had said, was I love to cook. I love to spend time with my kids. I turn my phone off. So I'm not working during those times.
That's great. I love this. Yeah. And I really am so happy to hear you say what you said about multitasking, because that's how I've been feeling about it lately. Thinking back pre-pandemic, I did sometimes feel that, you know, the only way I would do certain things is by multitasking, listening to a podcast and cook and talk to my kids and help them with schoolwork or whatever, you know, just finding ways to be more efficient with the time that I have. Mm-hmm. And I just can't handle it since last year. It's just too much. It's too overwhelming. And it feels like I'm not really doing a good job at either of those things.
Mm. Well, and that's true. You know, our brains are meant to do one thing at a time. Mm. You know, we say multitasking, but really what we should be saying or need to be saying is task switching.
Yeah.
And task switching is exhausting, especially if we're doing it over and over and over and over again all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it makes us less efficient at everything we're doing, actually, because we're switching tasks so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So sort of switching gears again, and I know you've already shared some strategies with us, which have been really helpful, and I'm already thinking of what I'm going to be doing differently now. but in your experience, Elizabeth, what are some resources, tools, or strategies that could support mental health, but that most people tend to overlook or use inconsistently?
A really good question. So the one that comes to mind first is the cheapest one. It's free. But sometimes I think we have a really hard time accessing it for some reason, and that's breathing.
Oh, yeah.
I think we forget that our breath is designed to connect mind and body. And when we are in a panic or we're in fight, flight, freeze, fawn, that part of our body, which is essentially called the vagus nerve or cranial nerve 10, is turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have that mind-body connection. Our breathing gets shallow. Our heart starts racing. We start to maybe get sweaty or clammy and, you know, we don't feel good.
Hmm.
And so breathing, I think, is one of the most important free things that we can do at any time of day. And it's always available to us. The trick that, you know, we always hear people say, just breathe. Well, I'm going to go a step further because sometimes that can worsen anxiety. I'm going to go a step further and just say, you know, whenever you're starting to feel anxious, whenever you're starting to feel overwhelmed, use your breath in the sense of letting your out breath be longer than your in breath.
Hmm.
By letting your out breath be longer, your body's going to breathe in on its own.
Hmm.
But when we allow that out breath to be longer, what it does is it turns on our vagus nerve, which connects mind and body. And then all of a sudden, we have much more ability to access, you know, our prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that allows us to think logically, use our brain, right? And get out of that fight, flight, freeze, fawn stage, which fawn is people pleasing, right? Doing everything for everyone.
Oh, okay.
And so I just think it's so important to access and train our breath, right? Practice, have different times of the day where you check in with yourself to re-regulate your body, breathe, reconnect mind body. And, you know, for some people, even inviting in that spiritual sense of, okay, I have meaning, I have purpose, right? And in order to fulfill those things, I have to be interconnected and I have to be grounded. So I think, is just having said that, breath is such an important one, and any other self-care type things that are important to you. You know, at the end of my day, I am a habitual, I take a bath and I read at night. It totally de-stresses me and it totally re-regulates me. So having little daily habits that are accessible to you that don't cost any money to just get back in your mind and body. And maybe that's just going outside. You know, yesterday I was starting to feel overwhelmed. I was in the middle of writing an article and I was just overwhelmed, and I threw my shoes off. I kicked my shoes off and went outside with my dog and my kids, and we just walked barefoot outside.
Isn't that called grounding?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the earth kind of re-regulate our nervous systems. Mm-hmm. That's what it's there for.
Hmm.
And, you know, as small business owners, I think it can become very routine to wear so many hats and be in this state of fight, flight, freeze, fawn. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's, you know, a strength that we can do many things and it probably serves our business as well. I think it also has a tendency to put us in this hyper aware state and essentially leads us to giving more than what we have. And so I just think it's so important to get quality sleep, eat nutritious foods, schedule time to connect with loved ones, and then just reconnect that mind and body through breath, through breathing, through movement. One of the other really fast ways to get back in our body, especially if we're anxious, is if you're working at home, you can do this anytime, is just laying on your back and putting your legs up the wall.
Mm.
It recirculates our blood and it allows our mind body to reconnect. And it's something you can do, especially if you're at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. I had never thought of that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to ask you a little bit, you know, thinking about your own business and career, what are some smart habits that have been crucial for you? I think you've already shared some of them with us, but if you can think of anything else, it could be anything related to work, physical, mental health, relationships, or anything else.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. You know, and I think this is so individual. Mm-hmm. So what I say for me may not really apply well to other people, right. But I guess in an overall sense, we have to create a life that where we allow ourselves to have healthy routines for us.
Mm.
You know, I shared with you, you know, every Monday morning, I get up and I do my paperwork. I don't like paperwork. It's not my strength. I have a habitual time when I do it and I get it out of the way.
Mm.
Right. And so I have different things in my routine that work well for me. I'm someone who, if I don't move my body, if I don't get outside, I start to go a little nuts, right? Mm-hmm. My energy is too much for my body and I'm not able to be present with the people that I love or my clients and really focus on the things that I want to spend time on. And so, you know, I love going to Pilates. I do Pilates a few times a week. I have a nightly routine with my family where we eat dinner and we go outside and we walk our dogs and we de-stress before we, you know, transition into the bedtime routine.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that I do multiple times per week, sometimes multiple times per day, are hypnosis and meditation.
Oh, yeah. I was reading that in your bio on your website. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. So besides having a healthy routine that fits my personality and my basic needs, you know, I use hypnosis and meditation habitually. I know a lot of people talk about it as it's a new fad, but for me, hypnosis is a place and time where I can go into trance and I can rework and reorganize my life in my head, in my mind, in my body. I can rest. And then hypnosis and then meditation is just another one of those things. You know, I got to my office about 30 minutes before my client this morning and mm-hmm. was feeling all sorts of energy. And I had spent some time outside, which felt good, but I just sat in my chair and turned on a 5-minute little meditation and listened to it and felt refreshed, felt renewed, felt like I had taken a nap, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all have little kids and sometimes we don't sleep well. And so a meditation can really help me get back into my body and feel refreshed.
Mm, I love that.
Wow. Great, great tips. Love them. So finally, we wanted to talk to you about work-life clarity. This is a term that we heard when we first started our podcast. We heard it on another podcast called The Deliberate Freelancer by Melanie Padgett-Powers. And we think it's extremely important for all freelancers, but also freelance language professionals. We really connected with, you know, kind of the vision behind that term because work-life balance can seem so kind of unattainable. It kind of gives that false idea that you should always seek balance in all areas of your life, which is impossible. So we felt like clarity was a better term because we all have different priorities on different days and we just need to be clear about it and set boundaries, which is, of course, easier said than done. So what are your thoughts on the notion of work-life clarity and protecting the boundaries between your work and personal life?
Well, first, I just so appreciate you asking this, because whenever I hear work-life balance, I physically just start laughing because I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Everyone has different jobs. Everyone has different home life. Everyone has something going on, right? And
yeah.
I think we have to acknowledge too that just because we were in a pandemic doesn't mean that the other things in life stopped, right? No, it was just more mm-hmm. on our plate. So I don't really know what balance means. I don't really know what, I think that's just one of those sayings that, you know, it's like, oh, just get over it. Well, I don't really think that's attainable, right? And so I appreciate you bringing that up. But for me, kind of like you said, this question falls under the bigger question of what are my priorities? I think it is so important to be clear on our home life and personal life priorities, and also be clear on our work-life priorities. What are we trying to get out of both of these things? Mm. And I think it's so fair to have both of these priorities. And again, going back to that routine and going back to that self-care, aligning our life to our priorities. So it's really important for me to go to work. It's really important for me to do what I do. I wouldn't, it gives me meaning. It gives me purpose. I love what I do. So does being a mom and a wife and all of the other things that I do in my life, right? And so I think we have to kind of go back to, just like you said, that clarity of, you know, during the week or maybe during these days, this is what my priorities are. Maybe even during this time block, right? These are my priorities and this is what I'm going to focus on to the best of my ability. Again, that self-compassion with the energy that I have to give at that time. And so I think once we are really clear on our personal and professional priorities, it's much easier for us to put the boundaries in place regarding that. Just like I told you, you know, I turned my phone off in the evenings. My phone's going to still be going off, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to hear it. And so mm-hmm. I'm creating that boundary around my family time, which is also so important to me. Mm-hmm. And that may look different for other people, right? You know, one of my friends has Sundays where she spends with her family and they do these, they try new things. And now I have another friend that on Friday nights, her and her husband go out on a date and they do these things to really rekindle their relationship, because during the week they really prioritize work, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, I think it goes back to what are our personal priorities and what are our work priorities and how can we make them work together? Because mm-hmm. they can.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's easy to forget, especially with the times we're in right now. It's easy to say, you know, one day I'll get to do this, or, you know, one day I'll have more time. But there's no point in waiting for that to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, I think in different seasons of life, we have different levels of energy to do things. Mm. And so, and our priorities change. When I had a newborn at home, my priorities looked very different than they do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Now that my kids are older, when I had a new business, you know, almost a decade ago, my priorities were a little bit different than they are now. And so it's healthy to check in with whatever season of life we're in and align our priorities with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good reminder. So
absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, this was such an important conversation, and we could probably talk to you all day about this.
Oh my gosh, this was amazing. Yeah. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, we're really grateful that you agreed to join us, so thanks for that. But before we wrap up, we'd love it if you'd join us for a special segment. We'd like to ask our guests to share something with our listeners, maybe about a favorite book, a gadget, or resource. And we like to call this guests' favorites. So is there anything that you'd like to recommend to our colleagues and listeners?
Sure. I whenever you told me you were going to ask this, two things came to mind. One of them is the book by Emily Fletcher. It's called Ziva Meditation, or Stress Less, Accomplish More. Mm. And it talks about the technique called Ziva Meditation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been using ever since I read her book a couple of years ago. It's a short and easy mantra-based type meditation that is easy to access and doesn't take a very long time. It's different than maybe what we think of when we think of meditation. Mm-hmm. So that's just something that really came to mind mm-hmm. that I keep going back to. And then you asked for like a little tool or something. And, you know, I recently ordered, or my husband did for me, this is probably a little off the wall, but it's called the Harmony Pendant. And it's a little pendant that I wear around my neck. And I didn't know anything about it until my husband bought it for me as a little gift, but it is meant to kind of balance your energy, and it, they have lots of research studies around it. And so I started wearing it. You charge it to your own body's energy, and I started wearing it, and I really do feel like I am have a little bit more access to balance my energy, and I think I'm sleeping a little better too. So maybe there's something to it. But I thought it was such a nice gift. And so I've been wearing it, and I thought I might throw that in there too.
Oh, interesting. I have to check that out.
That is so cool. Yeah. Love that. I want to thank you again for joining us today, Elizabeth. I feel refreshed and inspired, and this was just incredible. I think your tips and perspective are just extremely interesting, and I'm sure that our listeners will enjoy everything you offered in this conversation. And before we go, where can our colleagues learn more about you or find you online?
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I really hope that people can take one or many of these things we talked about today and just remember that we're all human, and maybe some of these tips will be helpful. I really hope so. You know, and I also want to say, you know, if something feels too big in life, it's always okay to reach out. I know there's still stigma around mental health and things like that, and I just so appreciate you talking about it openly and allowing me to come on here and talk about it openly. But if people want to find me, they can go to ElizabethMillerTherapy.com. I also have an Instagram page, which I am trying to be more active on, and the handle is ElizabethMillerTherapy.
Great. Okay, well, we'll make sure that we add those to the show notes.
Great.
And that's it for this episode. Later this week, our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode with all of the links to the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving our emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you like this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please follow our podcast, share it with your colleagues and friends, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute, and we have recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.